Last week, we looked at the parable of the talents and how we use our gifts and talents. And this week, this parable sort of challenges us if we're not using our gifts and talents. So it's a bit of a challenge, I think. Listen to these words of Jesus in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 and following. It's a short parable, but I think it's rich with meaning. It says this: Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" And he replied, "Sir, let alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Before we get started on this parable of the barren fig tree, I want to share something a little humorous. And I heard about this farmer who was driving along the road with a load of fertilizer, and a little boy was playing in front of the house and saw him drive by and called out, "What do you got on your truck?" And the farmer said, "Manure for fertilizer." And the little boy said, "What are you going to do with it?" And the farmer said, "Put it on strawberries." And the little boy called back and said, "Man, you ought to live here. We put sugar and cream on ours." And actually, it has some relevance, but you won't see that until later. But trust me, Jesus really uncovers some incredible truths in these parables, and sometimes they just seem like simple earthly stories, but the truth is they have deep heavenly meaning. And we've been looking at a number of the parables, last week looking at the parable of the talents, and this week we're looking at the parable of the barren fig tree. And I think that really has something to say to us about how we use our gifts and talents, how we use our life, how we use our time, our treasure, our talents, and it challenges us to grow and to be fruitful. And it also teaches us something about how God works in our lives when that doesn't happen, and how we can work and help ourselves in this life. And so if you think about this morning, just kind of picture yourself, if you will, maybe walking with Jesus in a vineyard in the Palestine area, or maybe California if you've been to vineyards there. But in any case, Jesus is out there, and Jesus tells this story probably in a vineyard, because many times those vineyards were along the road. And Jesus is talking to a number of people, and just to recall about that parable of the talents, we talked about if you use your gifts and talents, they'll grow. But if you don't use them, they'll lose them. And so if you kind of think about that last phrase, if you don't use them, you'll lose them. And Jesus is probably talking to some people who really had that very same problem. And so as he's talking to them, he shares this parable. And the parable is, again, it's this owner of the vineyard. And the owner apparently not only has grapevines planted in the vineyard, but he also has some fig trees. Fig trees make a nice compliment. Fig trees were a sign of abundance, and that would give you something else besides the grapes, and the owner was the one who planted it, and apparently there were fig trees in other parts of the vineyard, but this one fig tree had not borne fruit for at least 3 years. And so as they're walking along there, he says to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" And this master gardener, the steward of land, said, "Sir, let alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, then cut it down." So you think about this owner for a moment, and he was the owner. He'd planted that fig tree or had it planted. He had a vineyard that was probably full of abundance and grapes and a good harvest there. He probably had other fig trees. He knew his trade, and he had a trusted gardener who'd been tending after all this, but there's one fig tree that wasn't bearing fruit. Now, it probably wasn't the problem with the soil, because the vineyard was fine, the other fig trees were fine, but this one fig tree had a problem. And so he looks at it and said, if it doesn't grow, it's got to go. In other words, the reason that you have a fig tree is so that it bears fruit. And so if it doesn't grow, it's got to go. And I think about our own lives, and sometimes we have tremendous potential. And we've been through life for quite a stage, and maybe we were fruitful at one time, and then we just stopped bearing fruit. Maybe we stopped bearing fruit at work, and certainly at church we've been blessed with time, treasure, and talent by God, and then all of a sudden we're not having the energy and passion like a person like Grant has, doing what needs to be done and putting all of his heart and passion into that, and we stop to grow. And the question is, for us, I think, is what do we do if we find ourselves in that place? And how does God look at us? And you look at that and say, you know, this fig tree was the owner's fig tree. In other words, we're God's creation. God's given us our life and our gifts and our talents, and God expects us to use those gifts and talents. Those are God's gift to us, and our gift to God and others is using them for God's glory. So the next thing to do is to take stock. Look at the situation and take stock. And if you think about this parable for a moment, and it'd be easy to say, well, Jesus is preaching to the religious institutions of the day because they had made religion more of an obstacle than an avenue to God. And you can also say, well, Jesus is talking about the church because the church today has done that same kind of thing. And it's easy to say those kinds of things. But I think really the best place to start is with our own lives, with each of us as individuals, because collectively we make up the church and we can't do anything about the past, but we can do something about the present, which impacts the future. So where are we in our own lives? And sometimes we want to blame circumstance around us. You know, like the fig tree might, if it could talk, say, well, you know, it's the problem with the soil. But the only problem is that the rest of the vineyard was producing fruit and other fig trees were producing fruit. And sometimes we want to say, well, you know, maybe it's the church that's the reason why I'm not growing spiritually, or maybe it's the environment that I am, or things aren't going right at work or in my family or whatever, and that's the reason why I'm not producing fruit. But the truth is, if you look around, there's a lot of people in those same situations that are bearing fruit. And so I think if we really want to take stock, we've got to look at our own lives and look inside our life and to see what's there, because the natural state of a fig tree is to bear fruit. That's how you know that it's healthy. And if it's not bearing fruit, then it's not healthy. And so when you look at this, the gardener doesn't deny the problem with the fig tree. The gardener really acknowledges the problem. And he says this, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, and if not, cut it down." You know, he's just being real about that, and he knows what to do. And you think for a moment, well, what is fruit? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, hope, peace, joy, patience, long-suffering, those kinds of things. In the parable we looked at last week, Jesus sort of looked at our talents. We said, you know, even if you had one talent, that was the earnings of a lifetime. So everyone's rich with the gifts that God has given us. God has given us all time and treasure and talent, a lifetime of that. And the question is, what are we doing with that? And so take stock and then take action. Now, it's really interesting when you look at this, because when this steward, the master gardener, is challenged by the owner to cut down this tree, he says he's going to do two things. And the first thing the gardener says is he's going to dig around the roots. Now, I know that our farmers out there, who's Gary's here, of course, I know, he knows about this. We think of Bob and Stuart and Bill, and then some of our teachers. We think of Ellsworth and Larry and other people. But, you know, even for reasonably healthy plants, you need to dig around the roots. Am I right? In fact, Gary was telling me, I never quite realized that. But when they fertilize in the spring, after the plants start growing, he puts a blade in the ground. And Jay, I should mention Jay as well. And Jim, but they put a blade in the ground as they're putting fertilizer in, and that cuts the roots off, the horizontal roots, so the roots have to go down deep. And so there's a tilling up of the roots that helps them to grow. And I think when you think about plants in the garden too, that sometimes you have to sort of hoe them up a little bit, and that breaks up the roots and it breaks up the ground around them. And if you think a moment for our own lives, for a moment, are there times when God needs to dig around the roots in our lives? And you think about that for a moment, because, you know, when you think about the fig tree, when you looked at the problem, you might think, well, the problem's with the branches, or the problem's with the leaves, but really the problem's with the roots. And I think it's that way in our lives, because sometimes we think, well, gee, it's a problem with the gifts and talents that I have. It's not the right gifts and talents. But the truth is, for each of us, the problem is really in our roots. And sometimes God has to do something in our life where God digs around the roots in a way that sometimes is painful. I don't know, have you ever had moments in your life where God was sort of digging around the roots in your life? And maybe digging around some things that are uncomfortable, or things that maybe are just commonplace, or maybe the ground around your life has gotten hard and God has to do some painful things to kind of dig that up in a way that helps us to grow. And so the gardener says, I got to dig around the roots. And then the gardener says, there's something else that I have to do, which is I have to put manure around it, which is where the strawberries come in, of course. That's really telling you how the fertilizer works. And this isn't just back then. So I don't know. I know my farmers are out there, but If you think for a moment, when you've taken a country drive, you're just in the springtime and you think, I want to have a nice drive in the country, it's going to be kind of enjoyable, and you drive out there, and there's a farmer that's fertilizing the field. Have you ever been there? And you said, and my daughter sometimes said, what is that smell? And I said, they're fertilizing the field, because they still use manure for fertilizer, don't they, Gary? So they're putting manure on it, and probably when Gary's doing that and he comes into the house, Kathy probably says, you smell like manure or something like that, right? It doesn't smell good, does it? But the truth is, and I'm sure all our farmers would say that to their spouses, well, you know, that's what you need to do if we're going to have a good harvest, a good crop. And in our own lives, isn't it true that sometimes that God has to put manure around our life? I don't know if you ever had a moment in life where everything seemed like dung around you and it was really unpleasant. But the truth is, God uses moments like that to strengthen us, to fertilize our roots. And the truth is, if you look back on your life right now and you thought, well, what are the times in my life that I grew the most? I would challenge you to say that it's probably the most difficult periods of your life, when God has sort of dug around the roots and God has put some manure there. So God sometimes has to dig it up and then God has to dung it. But when the digging is done, the dung is done, then all of a sudden that stimulates the roots, that stimulates the growth so that we can bear fruit in the right kind of way. And I think that's true as individuals and sometimes as a church. And sometimes our roots have to be dug up. And the truth is, God has to dump some manure around our life. Are you with me? And it stinks. All right. Have anyone out there ever been through a chapter in life that pretty much stinks? It feels like manure. It feels like dung. And the truth is that sometimes we think God doesn't know what God's doing because life stinks. There's just a lot of dung in it. But the truth is that sometimes, if you look back in the most difficult chapters of our life, many times those are the chapters following that we have the greatest season of bearing fruit, that God uses that in a powerful way as a kind of a ministry in life. And, you know, this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I know that we've got a lot of people in here that have been through that. I've got my tie on this morning. And I look at some of the people, the women in our congregation have been through that chapter, have made it through. And then when someone else goes through that, they're able to come around them with sort of arms of grace and strength and provide some strength and some grace that I couldn't do, or someone who's not been through that. And so what seemed like something was horrible, in fact, is quite horrible and difficult and stinks, becomes a ministry that sort of bears fruit. And I think there's other kinds of things in life that are like that as well. And sometimes when we look at our life and we say, well, I'm not bearing fruit and things aren't happening the way that I want it to happen, maybe we need to just submit to the digging that's going to happen and the manure that's going to happen. Because the truth is that if you don't tend a garden, things will grow, but it seems like none of the things that you really want. Are you with me? This spring, Savannah, I just have a small garden, so I don't have big fields or anything. But so it rained and rained, and I really had a busy May, and so the garden got in a little bit late, and then just about the time the garden was off and running, we took our vacation. So we were gone for 3 weeks, and I came back, and you know, things were growing in the garden, but not the things that I wanted to grow in the garden. It was like weeds were this high. And so sometimes when we think about that, God has to dig out those kind of weeds, and God has to free up the roots, and God has to intentionally sort of mulch it up and then put some dung or some manure, and the fancy word is compost, but it's the same thing, isn't it? So that our lives will grow. And just look around your life today and think, you know, about the things that are happening in your life. And it seems like, maybe for a moment, if you're just looking at this gardener and you're maybe looking at this tree and it didn't look like it was worth much, and the gardener's putting all this work into it and digging around the roots and putting manure on it, that maybe that tree wasn't worth it. But this gardener really seems to believe in the tree. The gardener says, listen, I want to give it another year. I want to put all my life into this. I'm going to give it extra attention, special attention, digging around the roots, putting manure on it. And I think that's the attention that God gives us. And sometimes the attention you and I would like from God, when we think about God's blessing, is we want the good times, when everything that's special. But the truth is, sometimes in our life is Jesus comes along and Jesus has to dig around the roots, and then Jesus has to put some manure on, some bad smelling kinds of things in our life. But in so doing, our lives are suddenly stimulated so we can bear fruit in a powerful way. And so when you think about that, when the digging's done and the dung is done, the fruit will come. And that's the truth in our life. And so this morning I want to think about our lives and how we go about our lives, and I think for a moment about some lives in the Bible for a moment. I think about the life of Esther, and Esther was a young girl, and she lost both of her parents, and what a tragedy that was. And so there she was, and sort of a part of a captive people as a Jewish person in this empire that had control. And she had to think that God had forgotten all about her in that moment, and she'd lost both of her parents. But then all of a sudden the king was looking for a new queen and saw her beauty, and she became the queen. And that was special enough, but it came to the place where Esther was able to intercede for the Jewish people. And in her interceding to the king for the Jewish people, she saved the life of the whole Jewish nation. Maybe it was in that moment where she'd lost her parents and she didn't have much it seemed to live for, that God was taking that unpleasant experience and preparing her for the kind of strength that she would need to as a young queen, to go before a powerful king and to plead for the people of Israel. And you think for a moment about David. David, before he was king, as he was just a shepherd boy in the middle of nowhere, and David had been anointed to be king, and yet he didn't become king right away. He was out in the middle of nowhere tending flocks, and maybe somehow God was strengthening him as he was to face a bear that he would go after it with this slingshot that he had, or maybe he'd go out and look for a lost sheep, and that was softening his heart and strengthening him as he faced these difficult kind of situations. And then one day, his father asked him to take lunch out to his brothers. Now, that's a pretty menial task. So David had thought, okay, I'm going to do that. He goes out, and he finds his brothers and Saul, the entire Israelite army, and there's this giant by the name of Goliath out there, and he's taunting the Israelites, and no one was willing to have the strength and the courage to go up against that giant and to fight on behalf of Israel. And then David, young David, volunteers and says, I'll go ahead and do it. And everybody just sort of looks at him and scoffs him. But God, in that remote place, in the middle of that pasture, in the middle of nowhere, was digging up his roots and putting manure on him that he could grow strong and be ready to face that moment. And in that moment, David went forth. He wasn't even big enough to have a suit of armor that would fit him, but he took his sling and his rocks, and he was able to slay Goliath. And that was a pivotal moment that really put David in a place that would one day put him in as king of Israel. And so today, as we look at our lives, the question is, what would Jesus say about our lives? Would Jesus say that we're fruitful trees or that we're barren? And if we're barren, then it doesn't mean that we don't have hope. It just means that the master gardener needs to do some work in our lives. I like a verse in Isaiah that Jesus quoted just as he began his ministry. And it said that Jesus went into the synagogue and they gave him a scroll. And it just so happened the reading was from Isaiah. And so Jesus read these words. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the captive and recovery of the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And you think about that for a moment, because doesn't it say in that parable that the gardener says, well, give me one more year. And so Jesus is saying, maybe this is the year. It's the year, it's the era, it's the time when, because of what I've given and my life that I've given on the cross or I'm about to give on the cross, that you could have the kind of steward of the Holy Spirit, that I will take care of you. And even though times may be difficult, you may have to go through some digging up of your roots and you may have to go through some dung in your life, if you will. But know this, that I'm the one who loves you. I'm the one who has grace. So for a moment, think the image of this fig tree that's barren, and then I want to go back to Psalm 1 that Annie read, and I want to contrast those, because it says this in Psalm 1, "Blessed are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. And whatever they do, they prosper." This morning, I challenge us to look at our lives and to ask ourselves, are we like the barren fig tree, or are we like this tree planted by the water? And to know that Jesus gives us the answer in all these things in John 15 when he says that I'm the vine and you're the branches. Jesus is the one who brings us life. Jesus is the one who brings us the grace of the Holy Spirit, and that nurtures us. And if we lean into him and lean into God's grace, then we'll find a place in life where we can grow fruit. It might take some digging around our roots, and it might take some manure or dung in our lives, but we can have confidence that if we lean into his strength and his plan and his purpose, that grace will bring us through all those things. And so, in closing, look at your life and then take stock and then take action, or pray that God will take action in our life. And know this, if you're going through some difficulties, it might just be that the master gardener is at work. And so as we close in prayer, I just want to challenge each of us. And if you're somewhere in life where you don't think you're producing or bearing the kind of fruit that you think that you ought to, then take a moment and pray with me in your heart. And if you're going through something that's difficult and feels like you've got someone digging up your roots and the things that seem to give you strength in life, but it doesn't seem to give you strength anymore, know that the gardener might be at work. And if there's some smelly things in your life, know that this too can bring growth. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we think about our lives this day, and sometimes we go through difficulties and adversity, and it feels like there's no plan and there's no purpose in life. And sometimes we look at what we seem to produce in life, and it just doesn't seem to bear the fruit that we'd like it to. So this morning we look to you, the Master Gardener. We know that you bring us grace. We know that you have a plan and purpose for our life, and in order for us to bear fruit, sometimes we've got to endure some difficulties. We have to endure the digging up around our roots, and we have to endure some dung in our lives. At least that's what it seems like. But we know in all these things that you are at work in a way that no one else can work in our lives. And so this morning we ask you to help us to grow deep roots. We ask you to make us like a tree planted by streams of water, whose roots can grow down deep and drink from the strength of your grace and the water of the Holy Spirit. Help us to bear fruit that will last for all time. Help us to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and hope, peace and joy, patience and long-suffering. Help us to bless others with our time and our treasure and our talents. And we pray that we'd work for things that will last for all eternity. And one day, when we get to our heavenly home, we'll look around and we'll see the lives that the fruit from our tree has touched in a way that will last this day and for all eternity. We pray your blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.